Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Oh, hi. I'd like to apply for a loan so I can consolidate some of my debts.
Sure. Do you own your home?
Yes. But Carl, our resident ghost, keeps saying it's his house and we should get out.
Okay. But you are the registered owner.
Yes.
Then you're approved.
Hey, hear that, Carl? Huh?
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Go to alpinecredits.ca to get started. Some conditions apply.
FSRA license 12616.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. Jerry's percentages in about a half an hour. I wonder if Jerry was watching us on the league panel last night. I'm sure he'd have access to that if he wanted to. I guess we'll find out. We'll see what he's up to in about a half an hour. And Mike Johnson will join us here in a moment. Johnny was obviously in Pittsburgh calling that game with Gord Miller last night. And the Leafs got themselves a win. They end up winning 5-2. John Tavares scoring his 400th career goal. 400 snipes. That's impressive.
A lot of goals, man, yeah.
It's a lot of goals. A lot of goals.
It is.
Yeah. And that's a sign of
and
just
he's
consistency,
played well.
Right?
Like, I agree. We've talked about it at the start of the year. Like, what were we going to get out of him? I think maybe, for me personally, my expectations were a little bit lower, and he's blown through that. He's been very consistent. You could argue he's been the most consistent forward.
Right, I thought, Jamie, it might have been like a 2020
situation.
We thought
he was going to miss the first, six games?
That's right, because of the injury. You're right. Yep.
I thought it was going to be a 2020 situation if he had a good year. Like 20 goals, 20 assists, and it's like that's what he's going to bring to the table and see what it does for you. But he's been pretty good.
He has been. I think he has been the most consistent forward. He's got 9 goals now in the season, and he's on pace for, you know, a 35-80 type of season. That's a great season. Like, and to be fair to him, that's what he has done his whole career.
Yeah,
he has. And there's still a lot more runway here for him to prove that he can stay on those numbers. But I was bracing for it. I said multiple times, I'm expecting more of like a 25-65 as opposed to a 35-80. But to his credit, even with missing camp, he's had a great start. Like, he's really been productive. He's got 9 goals already on the season, and that helps you get the ball rolling. You guys talk about that all the time. You get the ball moving in the right direction early in the season. You avoid a slump. You feel good. All of a sudden, you know, the puck finds you. It just seems to be a consistent theme throughout the year. And he's had a really, really good start. And he's only 32. It's just like Erik Karlsson. Like, Karlsson's 32.
Right.
They've been in the limelight for so long.
19 years old.
Exactly. Like, Tavares stepped in at 18, first overall, tons of hype, exceptional status. He was in people's living rooms on TV when he was 15, you know, showing up with the Generals as a 15-year-old. So it feels like it's even longer than his NHL career because of what he did at the World Juniors and what he did in junior. But he's only 32. But to have 400 goals, you know, we saw the stats last night. In the last, you know, since 09-10, I believe it is, there's only two guys who have scored more goals, and that's Ovechkin and Stamkos, I believe. That's pretty decent company, you know. You're talking Ovechkin, when you think about it, since 09-10, Ovechkin's got 569 goals. Stamkos 465 and John Tavares at 400 now. So those are 3 first overall picks.
Wow.
That's what you want, right? Like, if you bottom out and you have a first overall pick, that's what you're hoping for. You pick a guy that turns into a great player, and those are 3 examples.
And it could have gone either way. It's not like the guy behind him was a stiff either. Hedman, it was either Tavares or Hedman that year.
Mm-hmm.
And whichever one you got, you were getting a player.
Well, Ovechkin, the second pick in that draft was Malkin. So that's pretty good consolation prize too, I would say. You know, I think everyone's taking Ovi.
Yeah.
Personally, if I'm building a team, I'd take Hedman just because of what he does and the caliber of player. But Tavares, you know, he's had a really good career. He's had a really good start, you know, and he and Marner, they connected last night, you know, like that. I'm curious how long that goes because Bunting got on the board a couple of times last night.
Yeah.
Willie scored an empty netter. Matthews, couple of assists. But, you know, if Tavares and Mitch are connecting, how long do we expect the two of them to be on a line together?
Do you think 34 is like the kind of have him back type of thing? Like, I don't know. I'm Not, I
Dude,
don't
they
think,
gotta forget
I don't
about
think
that
Matthews
stuff, man.
Cares.
Forget about it.
Regardless, this is the regular season. I get it. Where you're going to be judged, this team is going to be in the playoffs. But you still have pride. I heard Austin Matthews like, I don't care what people think of me. I don't care about stats. I get that, but I don't think he wants to end up. I still think he's going to get 55 goals this year. But I feel like if he plays with Marner, he gets a lot easier looks. I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't think there's any debating that. I mean, Marner can put it on a tee for you, unlike anyone else on this team. And Matthews, you know, he's been scoring a lot of the power plays. 5-on-5 production hasn't been where it has been in the past. You know, I think you'd reference shooting percentage and, again, getting the ball rolling, then all of a sudden the floodgates could open. But if it is about winning, and I think Matthews is being genuine there, if this is going to help you, then stick with it. Stick with Marner and Tavares. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. How do you project that, Mystic Mike, the idea that Marner will stay with Tavares on a line for what, the next game, 2 games, 5, 10? How long before Matthews starts looking and saying, maybe I'll take 16 back on my wing?
I think it goes until they don't win or are not productive or some combination of the both, right? Like, I don't think, as much as they want Austin going, Austin's still getting chances. If the team is winning and if Marner and Tavares are scoring together, and if Matthews and Nylander and Bunting are scoring together, even if it's not quite as much as Austin wants or anybody wants, because everybody always wants a little bit more, then I think they stay together kind of almost indefinitely. Now, at some point, it'll cool off. At some point, something will happen, and they will go back to Matthews and Marner together like they have so many times before. But, yeah, I think it's almost indefinite until it's no longer working. I think this is the luxury that they're trying to explore, that they have all these high-end players. They don't have to just play these two guys together and these two guys together. You can mix and match as needed. And right now, if it's working where Tavares and Marner are good together, then they stay together. And I don't think we can forget that. I think it was like Mitch's maybe second year where Tavares and Marner played together an awful lot and were very good together, very productive together. So we shouldn't be surprised that they have a good chemistry, a good connection. And I guess when they're that good, we shouldn't be surprised at all either. So I don't know to set the over-under. I'd probably set it somewhere around 10 games if it goes well, because they're not going to hustle or rush to get out of it.
Johnny, Matt Murray kind of, he got the job done. He looked fairly good last night. Like, you're talking about the line combinations, the goaltender, how he played. Like, is the organization basically looking for this to all to come together? Like, who cares about who you're playing with? Matt Murray, forget about your past injury status, but let's build something towards the playoffs and get on a heater come playoff time, and let's see if we can pull this off.
It kind of seems that way, though, right? Like, this team has, you'd say, well, if it all comes together, if it all works out, if it all goes according to plan, then they would be really, really good. And they have a goaltender who's won 2 Stanley Cups, who has been really, really good in his career. Now, there's a whole bunch of ifs for all parties involved, and I think Matt Murray's last game was a very positive first step. You know, he got the win. He only gave up 2 goals. He was asked to do quite a lot, especially in the second period. You know, news would probably tell you, like, maybe some of his rebound control or his, you know, his movement might have been a little bit leaky, but he did enough to keep pucks out of the net. And like a lot of the team, though, it's just kind of a wait and see or wait and prove it. Like, happy for him. Glad it went well. Saw a glimpse of what he could be with the team. But he has to do it a whole bunch, not just to prove that he can, but to prove that he can stay healthy and do it. To kind of maybe start feeling comfortable or confident that it might end up being as good as they think it could be.
Yeah.
Johnny, where do you stand when it comes to O brought it up on the show earlier about he read some analytics people talking that they should use the money for Muzzin to go get another forward instead of try and shore up the D.
Were they listening to our segment here last week? I think I said that last week on this show.
Hang on a sec. You agree with that?
I think that, yeah, they could. I think the chance of landing an impact forward is much easier than to find an impact defenseman.
But that's a different angle, though, Johnny. That's saying, you know what, I can't find that. That's not saying, let's say they're both available for the same package. Which are you taking, a forward or a defenseman?
If you can have Ryan O'Reilly or you can have Theodore, you're going to get Shea Theodore.
Right.
But you're not going to be able to get Shea Theodore. You're going to get Scott Mayfield, Dmitry Kulikov, and Ryan O'Reilly, or Ryan O'Reilly. And I think you probably try to get both. I am of the mind that going to get one of those defensive defensemen that could help you when Brody's back and everyone else is healthy with that money is a good idea. But they also, I think, would do well to upgrade their forwards. I don't even think that's being like super greedy. Their third and fourth lines are not as good as they once were last year. And if they could get someone who could defend really well, and I'm throwing Ryan O'Reilly out there because he's a pending UFA and he's a good player, somebody like that, then I think that would be a more feasible and almost a smarter way to use all that money is to go get both. But the impact defenseman, everybody wants it. They don't exist. Like, Ottawa has been trying to get that guy 9 months. They have more picks and better prospects to trade and are just as desperate as Toronto, and they haven't been able to do it. And Jacob Chikrin's not the answer. Like, that's not the guy who's going to make this defense what you want it to be. Oh, so, yeah, I am also a little bit of the mind that, you know, don't ignore the forwards just because everyone seems to think that the defense is where the issue is.
My only point, Johnny, is that if you want to get by the second or the first round and have a stretch, like that decor, no way, no how. Sorry. So you can go get a forward, but if you think that that's going into the Stanley Cup playoffs and it's going to go any kind of distance for you, not happening.
Generally speaking, what has kept them out of the second round the last several years? Their ability to score or to keep it out of their net? Playoffs. Generally be their ability to score. They haven't been losing games 5-4 in the playoffs. You know, think about the Columbus series, think about the last few games against Montreal. They haven't been able to score that one big goal in those crucial moments in the playoffs. Tampa, same thing. So, you know, you want both. You want to upgrade at both, but I just think defensively as a group, when everyone's healthy and as a team, Toronto's not bad. Mm-hmm. I think they could use a bump on offense. Even with all the stars they have up front, I still think their depth forwards could use a bump, and it's so much easier to address that than it would be to try to find a defenseman.
It's a big drop-off, though. That's what you're saying. You got four guys, and then it's a massive drop-off to the next guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I think we're forgetting, like, Mikheyev, Kasha, even Spezza. I don't have it in front of me, but would they have scored 35 goals last year?
Yeah, Mikheyev had 20, I believe, on his own, did he not? So
maybe 40, 45 goals, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and about probably 35 of those were even strength. And they don't have that. You know, Yarncroke is a utility guy. Kerfoot is not carrying a line on his own at all. The fourth line I actually quite like. They've been good, but Kampf and Austin Reese are not going to score very often. They'll do other good things, but they just will not score. I think the idea that they want to play three lines attacking, play with pace and be a multi-layered beyond the top two lines threat, they might need an upgraded forward, which I think would be available by the far more plentiful heading to the trade deadline than there would be a really high-end defenseman.
Well, Erik Karlsson's available, Johnny, 11.5. Why not?
How would that even work? 11.5.
Okay, make it work. Okay, so San Jose eats all of it or half of it, right? So now you're down to 5.75. The whole problem is like that would make sense if there was 1 or 2 years, but 4 years, Hayes, it's just
crazy.
So much.
Yeah.
So like, how that would work? Okay, so what if Montreal said, okay, listen, San Jose, you eat $3 million, and we'll trade you Brendan Gallagher for Erik Karlsson. Brendan Gallagher has 4 more years at 5.75. So we're having a net $3 million pickup for Toronto, and San Jose gets a net, whatever, $3 million savings, plus Gallagher instead of Karlsson. Like, that kind of trade, you need to attach, and that's not to say Brendan Gallagher's a bad player, but you need to attach a contract that is underperforming to make that trade work. Because I don't think San Jose is going to eat everything, like, you know, $6 million a year for 4 years. And even if that was the case, as great as Carlson has been this year, like, oh, do you trust that body for four more years at some version of $6, $7, $8, $9 million per year?
Not a chance.
Like, right. Like that would be a very daunting proposition and probably a trade that would have to be made out of desperation. One of the teams that maybe could use Noodles, like Ottawa, could maybe use a player like him.
That's what I was thinking when he said it. Like, would Dorion ever, would he ever, like, Carlson wouldn't waive, I think, to go back there. But,
no.
You know, would, like, Ottawa keeps coming up. Johnny, you referenced it. Noodles, you said their name 15 times in the last 2 weeks.
Easily. You know. Easily.
That they need some help. Now, he may not be exactly what they envision as the help, but what a return that would be. You know, Carlson heading back to Ottawa. Never going to happen, but it'd be a kind of cool story. And listen, Ottawa better get something going. Like, they, for me, like, you look at it now, the Leafs, all of a sudden, they're 5-1-1 in the last seven, I believe. They're 9-5-3. They're back where you thought they'd be. Boston's in a great spot. Tampa and Florida are right there lurking. Now Buffalo is fading rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing like crazy. Ottawa's losing. We know, we think, we believe we know where Montreal and Detroit will be by the end of the year on the outside looking in. Like, it does all of a sudden kind of feel like everything is back in its proper spot, does it not, Johnny? Like, we're trending towards a projection that most of us have, that Boston, Toronto, Florida, Tampa would trump the other four teams in the Atlantic.
Absolutely. And yeah, it may have taken 16 games to kind of get to where, you know, the normal order of things. And I know there's lots of smiles in Buffalo and Montreal when they were ahead of Toronto after 7, 8, 9 games. And those teams deserve credit for positive starts. But even if the gap is tighter, and it probably will be tighter than last year, the gap was so huge, it was always going to be almost impossible for those teams to make up a 30-point gap between one of the top four and the next four teams. So, yeah, and for all the positivity about Ottawa winning the summer and Pierre Dorion and Giroux and all the trades, and they're in last. And they're one of the worst teams in the league. I think they're a couple points out of being last in the entire league. So I don't know what the desperation level is, because I don't know if there's any trade they could make or any move they could make that would make them a playoff team this year. So maybe that does alleviate some of the pressure. They want to be better, more competitive. But even more competitive probably doesn't turn them into a playoff team. It's kind of the way that we all thought it would be. And we all thought it would be that way for a reason, because the four teams that are at the top four are better than the teams that are below them. But Ottawa, like, doesn't this feel like tonight's game is 2.0 of last night's game? Like, it was Vancouver and Buffalo. Like, something's got to give. Someone needs a win. Chaos if they don't. Well, now Vancouver got it, so maybe that settles things down for a day. So now it's Ottawa and Buffalo. Something's got to give.
Yep.
Someone's got to win. Chaos and whoever doesn't. Feels like a game at Ottawa. Noodles, you're around that team all the time. If it doesn't go well, I don't know how close they are to like some sort of tipping point where something happens, but it feels like if they were to lose tonight to another team, they're kind of same boat, it gets pretty close to something happening.
Johnny,
yeah,
you sound a
I think Pierre Dorion. I think Pierre Dorion is going to do something sooner than later. Put it that way, guys. I think he can't sit on his hands anymore. You're right. Like, Johnny, winning the offseason, all that. I think all of us thought they were going to play meaningful hockey, but I don't think any of us thought they were going to be in the playoffs. But I thought they were going to be right on the cusp. Bottom line is they haven't had the start that they've wanted to, and this is a critical month for them right now. And you know, they're banged up. You've got Zub out, you've got Shabbat out now with the concussion that could be longer, and some guys still have underperformed. I think Pierre Dorion might do something just to shake the group up too.
Well, you got to beat Buffalo, man. Buffalo's lost 6 in a row, and you're at home.
Leaking goals everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. That's what we knew. Yeah. That Eric Comrie and, you know, Mr. Anderson. Yeah, like, come on. That wasn't ever going to be tenable.
41 years old.
Yeah, like, come on. And has Eric Branstrom, has he apologized yet, Noodles? Because he laid a beating on you the other night. We don't like him anymore.
He should reach out, no?
No. Something. No, apparently, my understanding is that he didn't even know he hit me. Like, the Sens were surprised that I even was injured. Like, they had no idea that I was hit between the benches. That's what I was told.
That's wild.
So
Yeah.
Maybe it's tape, guys.
Maybe they hate my guts.
You got to right in the conk. You're 2 feet away from Dom, their trainer. Like, you're bleeding. What do you think happened to you in there?
No kidding.
Well, Dom was helping out, but everyone else was like, nah, let's nothing to see here. Let's keep moving. And it was at the end of the period, too. It was literally like 10 seconds left in the period, I think. So I don't know.
Well, next time you see him, make sure he at least addresses the situation, the elephant in the room. Because he'll be back between the benches before you know it. I mean, you're out there in California. I'm assuming you're going to see a bunch of them. And yeah, we'll see what comes of
it.
All right, Johnny. We'll leave it there, pal. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
All right, boys. Well done on the panel last night. And Hayes, just for the record, I had a clean sheet for Mystic Mike last night. I'm giving most of the credit to you.
I noticed that. I was paying attention. I think Tavares snuck over. What did he have? Three shots, I think, last night, didn't he?
He hit the third one late on a very debated late tally they gave him. But I took it and ran. Don't you worry.
As you should. Geno snuck in an assist. Was that a primary or a second assist?
It was a primer. Secondary to the tip in front. No secondary. No.
It doesn't matter. They all count
all the way around, but we need them. We take
need
them.
Yeah, you're back, baby. I love it. Mystic Mike back in the winner's circle. We're feeling it. All right, pal. We'll do it later in the week.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory. Arriving daily, it's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, we were talking a lot about Noodles, your face, last night. And selfishly, you know the way we operate and the way we think and the way, you know, I think in terms of content. The second it happened, it was like, this is actually really great. Like, it sucks for you. But I'm like, this is going to be really good for us and our material. And it was a pretty constant theme throughout the panel last night.
Yeah, it was a good icebreaker for the guys. And
exactly.
I said it before. Strutty was the first call, then a bunch of other goons messaging me. Tyson Nash and Jerome McGinnell. Our group chat was on fire, and you know, everyone calling me Leatherface because there was no cut. It was just like a scrape, and my eyes gotten blacker and blacker. And with the flight, I flew back from Ottawa the next morning,
brutal.
Like it puffed up again. Yeah, it's pretty tough. A little bit sore, but it is what it is.
You're a pro. Yeah, you made it last night, and you're back on the road. You're calling more games, and yeah, that one tonight, that's going to be a dicey one. That is mandatory win night, I would think.
Dude, I don't know why, but what you call it, hate watching or kind of like tension watching, but I get fascinated watching those stressful games.
I know. Buffalo, because you got to get back on the rails. Buffalo's lost a ton of games, and Ottawa clearly is in trouble, you know, early into the season. So that more coming up around the NHL. We got the Raptors back in action with Kyle Lowry and the Heat back in town. We'll start teeing that up. CJ Miles will join us. His take on Kevin Durant's comments, Ben Simmons' comments, and tee up the Raptor game with him. Darren Dreger still to come as well. But Jerry's percentages patiently standing by. We'll catch up with Jerry next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's percentages.
Jerry's growing his hair out. I saw it the other night. He's got like locks at the back.
I love it. A little
He's
moulet.
Got a mule.
I love a mule for the winter months. Right? It gets cold. You need a little more
He likes a beard at the outdoor game, and I saw it at the Hall of Fame. He's going like all one length, slick.
That look. It's insulation, man. It gets cold. You need it. The beard and a little
get
bit
to
of
him.
A little bit of length. All right, hold on here. Jerry's percentages brought to you by Zanken Automotive Group. With 38 dealers across the GTA, ready to deliver an exceptional car buying and servicing experience, visit ZankenAuto.com. Bring in the moulet. Let's hear from Jerry.
I saw a fraud last night trying to take away the spotlight of Jerry on the panel. Don't ever think of it, Hayes. This is the Jerry Show. Let's get to the takes. When you goons finally stop blabbering and the puck drop, old Jerry came to a quick conclusion that the Pittsburgh Penguins window is closed and they will miss the playoffs.
All right. right, Jerry. Whoa. A little shy. I knew he'd be tuning in last night. You knew it would. That you talk about hate watching. Hate watching us on the panel last night. But
did Jerry's take his Penguins miss the playoffs?
He's got them missing the playoffs. Yeah,
7%. 7%. And I understand how you could kind of open your eyeballs to that percentage after what has been going on and after what you saw last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's up with their goaltending. I don't know if they're too old. But they do this all the time, and they end up winning the Metro. And I don't know if they'll do it again, but I do not think they missed the playoffs. No way. 7%.
That's a low number.
I'm a little higher, guys. I'm a little higher. I'm 28%. And a couple things. It's not even the age of the group, because Malkin, Crosby, and Letang, they look good. They've been good all season. Like, they were getting looks last night. Matt Murray made some great saves. So it's more about the rest of the group and the goaltending. Because Tristan Jarry is a very good goaltender, hasn't had a great start. Casey DeSmith, I think he's a good two. That's it. Like, I think they need saves. I think their defensive core has been banged up. I don't know if we were talking about it yesterday or a couple of days ago. Ovi knocked out two guys in one game last week alone. They're a banged up group. And, you know, they do look a little bit of their age right now. But I'm 28%. I still believe in them. But there's something there. Yeah, exactly.
They are not a young team, right? Like, we know that. And look up the middle of the ice. Sid, Gino, Jeff Carter. Like, this isn't 2010. You know, like, those are three great players. But they are not young. There will be games this year where, like, stretches where two of them are out of the lineup. Like, I fully expect it. Injuries will pop up, and that is likely going to happen. Now, the thing is, you look at the Metro, the Devils, I have to give credit to Jersey. We're paying attention to you. They're 13-3. They're playing great. I love this Jack Hughes kid. He's got swag.
Dude, did you hear when he got asked, what do you guys need to do to have a complete 60 minutes? And he's like, we've been on a 9-game heater.
I think
Why was he asked that question?
It's just overanalyzing, you know. Maybe it was something the coach said. I don't know. You know, who knows? But
no, they let somebody in there that doesn't traditionally ask hockey questions. That's what it was. They're, you know, somebody from the regular news station got in there and asked a question.
Excuse me, we're on a 9-game heater.
Like, yeah, that's a great answer. It's like, ridiculous. I think we're doing pretty well. We've won 9 in a row. And they won again. They've won 10 in a row. They're 13-3.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a 10-point, that's an 11-point buffer on Pitt. So Jersey's there. Do I have faith that it continues? No, I do not. But you got to take it for what it's worth. The Islanders look like they've turned some things around. You know, like, they're in
a good spot. They are.
Carolina's getting in. I believe the Rangers are getting in. So, like, you just start to do the math on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't. I'm going to say 49%. I'm going to be into the minority, but it's basically a coin flip for me. And I will say this. I think one of Washington or Pitt are going to miss. One of them will miss.
That's where I was going to go.
Yeah,
I'll agree with you on that. One of them are.
Okay, so they've got Washington has one more point, but they've played two more games. Rocco and Nett hasn't settled in. You know,
yeah.
Kemper. What did you call him? Oh, I can't remember.
I'm not saying it again. Keep going, though. Go, keep going.
We support him, though. We don't like – it's just Kemper.
Yeah, we love
Darcy, it's not Rocco.
But it's just Darcy Kemper has signed the big deal, and he hasn't settled in yet. But at the end of the day, they're – like, Washington or Pitt, one of those teams could miss.
Yes.
I don't think Philly will be there in the end.
No.
But if you're looking at a four-pack from the Metro – I think there might even be a five-pack. That's where I keep saying, like, you just got to be making – if you're the Leafs, get points every night.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think – I think Boston, Toronto, Tampa, Florida. Like, which one of them do we think is going to miss? Like, Boston's not. You know, and I don't think the Leafs will. I don't think Tampa will. I don't think Florida will. Like, I think those four are getting in. So, I think you're dealing with four spots with the Metro, and, you know, that's going to make it difficult for both Washington and Pitt to get in. All right, let's move on here. What else do we have from Jerry?
Jemmy's all-time favorite golfer is Greg Norman because he had the coolest gear. But just like Sunday in 96 at the Masters, it's time for Greggy to shard himself and exit stage left. Because he'll be out of live by the end of 2023. Maybe he just does walks on the beach with his shorts on. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Greg Norman, what a shock that he made sure that picture went viral. Greg Norman. Was he a photographer walking with
Buddy, if
beach?
I had that short set up, I'd have a photographer too.
He'd be calling TMZ saying, I'll be at the beach in an hour.
No, every day at 8 o'clock, I have my walk with a coffee, and my shorts will be wet, so get
TikTok,
ready.
TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah. Wide lens it, please. Go ahead.
So this is spawned by Rory McIlroy, who cannot stop talking about Liv.
Dude, he loves it.
He loves talking about
it. Not Liv, he loves talking about it.
Always. And Rory said it's time for an adult. Like, he hates Greg Norman. He hates him with a passion. And he said, for us to have any type of amicable relationship and coexistence in the future, Greg Norman's got to go. Well, apparently Jerry is siding with Rory here, and he thinks Greg Norman will be out of LIV by the end of 2023.
I think 0%. I think he was probably floated. There's the players are getting a lot of money to play golf for LIV. Can you imagine the money that Greg Norman was giving to start LIV and recruit and kind of go against the PGA Tour and be the bad guy and start all of this? How much he must have got $1 billion for that?
No, I doubt he got $1 billion. But
dude, I guarantee it was over $500 million
for Greg Norman. What does he do? He doesn't play.
Dude, he started did you see anybody from Saudi come over here and start saying, "Oh yeah, we're starting up LIV Golf"? It was Greg Norman.
Of course, he's the commissioner. In fact,
Rappler, Google how much Greg Norman was paid from LIV Golf.
I actually have never heard those numbers. I've never heard what he's
probably
made.
He might have a percentage in it. That's what it is. It's ownership in it. But I agree. They gave him a boatload of money. This guy soiled his reputation. Like he legitimately has become the villain. Like he's getting paid to be a villain now. Like
I'm going to say 15% because I've been hearing that there's rumblings that people on the LIV tour, they're starting to hate his guts as well.
Well, there you go.
So you might have a problem, but I'm going to say the comment is he won't be at LIV.
Yes, he's out. He's disassociated with LIV. He's gone.
15%.
I'm lower. I think he's tied to LIV. He's the
pot
guy.
Committed, man. He's pot committed.
So what's your number then, Noodles?
7%.
7%.
You see what Grappler's put in our group text? 700 to 800 million.
Wow. For Greg Norman to not pick up a club.
Hold on a second. Now he's saying that's a lie. Yeah. So now he's picked up fake news.
There's our crack research team.
Yeah, crack research. No, that's a lie.
Yeah,
sorry guys, that's
wrong
a lie.
Wrong
Twitter.
He's on AOL. He's on what are we using here to try to find out Greg Norman's salary?
I know. Like, did he put 25 cents in a gumball machine to pump out a number?
Honestly. But here's what I think we need to remember. Who we're dealing with at the top. Do you think the Saudis care about Greg Norman? Do you think they care about him at all? Absolutely not.
But, dude, he might be so deep into them where they think that Greg Norman is the only guy that can operate this LIV operation.
They probably
did. You know what it's like when there's like a non-golfer, just a bunch of money, and Greg Norman gets in there, one of the greatest of all time, and he's like, I do this. I know how to make this work. And everyone start thinking he's a god.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think that was definitely the sales pitch that they bought hook, line, and sinker to get it off the ground. But the whole essence of this program from the Saudi perspective is to elevate their reputation internationally, right? It's all about the Saudi fund. It's all about them, you know, trying to improve their reputation around the world. And if they believe McIlroy's being genuine here, and I'm not sure that he is, and McIlroy doesn't speak for everyone on tour, you know, like there's a commissioner of the PGA that needs to speak for this. But if the Saudis actually get to a conclusion that they believe if Norman's gone, we can amplify what we're trying to do here. They're not going to be beholden to Greg Norman. And why would you believe Norman doesn't want to be associated with the PGA Tour. He hates them. He hates McIlroy.
But what do the Saudis care if their players get to actually play in a major because Greg Norman's not around? Like, what do they care?
Because then they can say, look what we've accomplished here. Look what we've done. We're on the same par. You know, right now they're just a bunch of, it's a nothing tour. It's
Dude,
a nothing.
No kidding. And guys that play 3-round tournaments don't deserve to play in major championships, in my personal opinion.
I want to see them there, though.
Why?
I want to see Dustin Johnson and Cam Smith play.
Of course, I want to see Dustin Johnson and Cam Smith, but how fair is it to other guys that are playing 4-round tournaments, and these guys are blowing bubbles and riding dirt bikes around the tee blocks with their golf clubs, and they're playing 3 rounds of golf? It's not fair. It's not right.
It is different. Yeah. But I'm going to say 65% Norman's gone by the end of 2023. 65%. All right, what else do we have?
The Boston Bruins will keep lapping the field and win the President's Trophy this season.
They are in a pretty good spot. Now, Vegas is right there with them. Yeah. And we have a lot of season left. I mean, let's be perfectly honest.
Right, yeah.
But they're at 28 points. Vegas is at 26. And then it's a big drop-off. Like, they've got a pretty significant lead. Now, the Devils are at 26, too, but the Devils are not winning the President's Trophy, let's be honest. I pumped their tires a minute ago. Let's bring that back to reality.
Why couldn't they? Who knows? Maybe they have a magical year like the Buffalo Sabres did in 2010.
You think the Devils have a sniff at making winning?
But why are you so negative where you're just like, it's not happening?
Because I don't think they're that good.
I think they're better than you think. I've talked to people that think that they're the fastest team in the National Hockey League.
That's significant. That is something that can win a lot of regular season games. Yeah, I'm not disputing that. But the President's Trophy?
All right, get back on track. The Boston Bruins win the President's Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 79% because it's just something Boston would do. It's just something Boston would do. It's their last dance. It's their last dance.
Is it? It feels like we've been saying that for 5 years.
Dude, it wouldn't shock me if Bergeron and Krejci end up back there again next year.
Yeah, I fully expect it, especially with all the success they're having.
But we said that when Chara left. We said that when Tuukka left. Like, Krejci went away for a year. He comes back. They just find a way, and it's Marchand, it's Bergeron, it's Pasternak, I think he's third in the league in scoring right now, like as far as points and stuff. Like, he's having an unbelievable start to the season. I'm going to be a little bit lower than you, Hayes, because I'm going to play the field. I think Vegas is a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I think Carolina's a good team. I think there's a bunch of teams like that are right, maybe at 22, 21 points right now behind them. So I'm going to go 56% for Boston.
I'm lower than that. I'm going to say 20%. I mean, we're 15 games into the season. Yeah, I mean, they're off to an incredible start, and they're going to cruise to the playoffs. But, like, Vegas is off to a good start. There are other high-end teams in the league that still have a lot of runway to make up some ground. And I think it's too early. Like, if they're still in this position where they've got a huge gap in 20 more games, then it starts to push towards 60, 70%. But I'm going to be relatively low on this. What did I say, 20%?
You said 20%. 20%
the Bruins hold on and win the President's Trophy.
The Blue Jays will trade at least one more significant roster piece this offseason. Adios, Teoscar Hernandez. You were one of my favorites.
I didn't know that. Jerry loved Teoscar Hernandez on his way to Seattle.
Dude, I don't like that. I don't know. He's just one of those guys where it's like a Jays guy. I like watching the Jays. He was one of my guys that I was like, this guy's a legit good player.
Yep.
I just like the guy. I'm going to miss him.
Well, he hits for power. Like, that's for sure. Like, this, he was capable of hitting 35 home runs.
Yeah, that's right.
That's difficult to – I know Atkins said today they think they can fill that production from within. I'll believe that when I see it.
Who? Yeah,
I don't think anyone –
Is Kevin Biggio going to start launching bombs?
No. A full year of Whit Merrifield isn't going to supply that. It's not going to happen.
One more guy gets traded as the percentage?
Yep, like one more guy of significance. I guess you're talking Kirk, you're talking maybe Biggio could be included in that, Gurriel, everyday ballplayers.
85%. Now I'm going to go 90%. Yeah. I think they're looking at shuffling the deck and possibly add strengths in different areas, hopefully pitching, but I think 95%. 95%, yeah, they're going to do it.
Right. I'm high on this too. They've got needs they need to address. It was 2 years ago they had, 91 wins? Last year they had 92. Like, it's not like they were a 100-win team. Like, I need to continue to keep pushing it. I don't know who they would trade, but I think you're going to see one more piece move out to try and add to their bullpen.
I'm high on that, too. Yeah, I'm high on it as well. I mean, like Phillip said, they're dealing with a budget. And it's like money goes out, money comes in, and that's likely a part of it as well. Like, you're looking – they want left-handed bats. I think they want better defensive players, and this is going to be the Springer-Bichette-Vladdy show. Like, that's what we're talking here. And Kirk, too. Like, if Kirk can do it again, Kirk was a really productive player this year. And that's effectively going to be your team. You build around them. And I think that's going to be a part of it. So I'm going to say 85%. Yeah, I think another piece is going to go. All right, we got some Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. Darren Dreger still to come. CJ Miles still to come on Raptors Heat tonight. Kevin Durant's comments. Ben Simmons. Like, it's just always Brooklyn. Always Brooklyn.
It's a mess there.
It's a mess. Yes, it is. Jerry's Percentages was brought to you by Zenkin Automotive Group, with 38 dealers across the GTA ready to deliver an exceptional car buying and servicing experience. Visit ZenkinAuto.com. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, the Air Canada Fan Flight Contest with TSN 1050 is your chance to see the Maple Leafs in Nashville this season. The first caller right now, 416-870-1050, with the correct keyword announced this morning on First Up, wins a Google Nest Mini and will qualify for the grand prize draw, an Air Canada fan flight trip for four to Nashville to see the Maple Leafs in action. For full contest details, head to tsn1050.ca. So stop wasting time. Get on the phone. Call in right now, 416-870-1050. CJ Miles still to come. And some of these Kevin Durant comments with Chris Haynes are
crazy,
so explosive. Like,
accused Hayes of saying he's not a leader.
But how can you say what you said on the record and be considered a leader? Like, listen to what he says about his teammates, guys that are on the plane with him back to Brooklyn. They just got crushed by Sacramento,
and this was to a reporter.
This is to Chris Haynes, one of the biggest insiders in basketball. He said, quote, this is Kevin Durant, look at our starting lineup. Edmund Sumner, Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris, Nick Claxton, and me. It's not disrespect, but what are you expecting from that group? You expect us to win because I'm out there, end quote? Those are his current teammates. That's outrageously ruthless. Like,
that
that's
comment
ruthless.
Is not made a lot.
No. No. That's like, if you're those guys are on the bus, on the plane, in the room, on the bench, they're his current teammates, and he's basically saying they are absolutely awful. They're horrendous, and they're sewering his career. That's basically what he's saying.
I played in Minnesota with a guy named Aaron Gavey. Now, Aaron got picked up in expansion from Dallas, and he knew I played in St. Louis with Brett Hull. And when Hitch and Hollywood, you know, Ken Hitchcock and Hollywood fight. So at one point it was Aaron Gavey, Mike Keane, and Brett Hull on a line. And apparently Holly turned around right in front of them and goes, oh, great, Hitch, you got Aaron Gavey passing me the puck. and like Gavey's like, I'm right here, buddy. That's a Durant comment right there, basically.
Right.
What do you expect? What do you want me to do with these stiffs?
But at least that is off the record on the
bench. They're both outrageous. They're both outrageous.
Right. Like, that one's really tough.
Like,
that's
a
sharp
private meeting in the coach's room. Like, can you get me some help? Like, to the guy's face. That is outrageous.
That's tough. But this one is public knowledge. It's public record. Chris Haynes, it's like, did he not realize Haynes was recording this? Like, he's just basically saying, crazy. Look who I'm playing with. We can't beat Sacramento because these guys are brutal. And I don't know, man. I wonder if it's reaching sabotage time now for Durant. Like, if he's going to take a page out of the Harden book, you know, Carmelo in Denver, where he's like, you got to get out. You're getting crushed. They lost to the Lakers, who no one loses to. They lost to Sacramento.
But he's just trying the last straw. He's like, I just can't be associated with this anymore.
Right.
I've got, like, I don't know. But it didn't work in the summer. Why would it work now? Is there different pressure points now or what?
I get, again, sabotage. That might be the only way out. Because, what, are you going to trust Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving? You going to trust those two? Like, Kyrie's not playing because of that's the team that's made that determination that he's not playing. And Ben Simmons is Ben Simmons. Right, he hit 10 points for the first time in like 500 days, and it was celebrated as if that was some big accomplishment. You know, it is a mess. They're terrible. They're 12th in the East. They are a mess, and Kevin Durant is on an island there. And I'm wondering if this is sabotage now. That might be the final card. CJ Miles on that and more in the next hour. Darren Dreger will join us as well. Well, we'll get his take on Jersey because Jersey's going to be in town tomorrow night. Right, like I'm.
Why don't we get his take, Hazy, from your little insider trading segment? We'll just do a follow up.
Okay, we'll follow up in the back desk. How about that? Moving around last night.
I didn't watch it. I was too nervous. I'm like, maybe he's going to get some late game like shakes. It was seamless though.
I think it went all right. I will ask Dreger. You ask him. I'm not going to ask him. You let him.
Okay, bring him in, and that'll be my first question.
All right, we'll catch up with Dregs and CJ Miles. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.